Good morning and welcome. My name is Eric Perez, CEO, Queensland Seafood Industry Association. Thanks for joining me on this podcast. It was recorded yesterday evening, the 4th of March, 2020. I had the opportunity to ask some questions around this so-called reform process of the chair of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, Mr. Alan Bobberman. Some very interesting insights provided by Alan in that discussion. Hope you enjoy the podcast, and I'll hand over to Alan.
Well, at the moment, Eric, it's hard to give a clear answer on where we are at with this reform process. It was moving along at a very fast pace, but since around October last year, it seems to have slowed down, or nothing has happened.
So the million-dollar question in my mind, and those that are listening to this, is in broad terms, why do you think things have slowed down, at least from a commercial fisherman's perspective?
Well, I'd be second-guessing sometimes to come up with an answer to that one. But from a fisherman's point of view, maybe common sense is prevailing here and they're stepping back and rethinking of the pathway to travel down.
Okay, you use the term common sense and fisheries management in this state, usually two things that don't go together very often. So we've got a reform process that's ongoing but has seemingly stalled at the moment, and we've got a whole lot of issues that have come up in the interim, particularly around coronavirus, and that's been well documented, and we've been out quite publicly trying to get assistance for industry where we can. So if we moved away from coronavirus for the moment and more concentrated on some of the issues of the moment, one of the things that we dealt with this week and is an ongoing challenge for us will be the introduction of technologies into our fisheries. And the biggest issue that I see on the horizon that I guess is something worth discussing is the introduction of camera and digital technology on vessels. Now, that could be a condition under the wildlife trade operations process in the next 18 to 24 months. And for those listening, that's rules around which we can and can't interact with our fisheries for the purposes of export, is my understanding. What's your perspective on the introduction of this kind of technology into the fishery, Alan?
I don't know where they're going to head with this. You know, they quote other fisheries around the globe as to having digital technology, you know, so that they can grade fish and so forth. But we're talking about a small-scale fishery here where most of us fishermen are inshore fishermen, those in the crab fishery and those in the net fishery, are working out of small dinghies, open dinghies, and they're going to try and incorporate this technology into these small vessels. Well, I'm struggling to find, you know, why and how they're going to make this work.
Are we headed into, you know, some would call it a nanny state or big brother in terms of how we do our fishing? And would it be acceptable in any other form of agriculture or any other occupation to have cameras on you through the duration of your work to make sure you're doing what you're meant to be doing? Do you think that would be acceptable in any other industry?
I think not, Eric. I think that it'd be, you know, it's even in a bit of an invasion of privacy and civil liberties. I don't know for what reason that this digital technology they seem to think is going to prove a lot of misconceptions that fishermen are out there, you know, under-reporting and killing all these wonderful cuddly creatures in the sea. But I think at the end of the day, nobody has done any cost analysis on this, and what is it going to really cost the taxpayer and the fisherman for this technology, and what is it really going to prove? Industry is just scratching its head. The whole reform process seems to be all hinging around the commercial sector. You know, even their harvest strategy in cutting up the piece of pie, it's all relating to what was come out of our logbooks. And this, again, is flawed. The commercial sector is being used here as the sacrificial lamb.
When you say that, you mean in terms of the way we're going to manage these fisheries into the future. This reform was put together. One of the key pillars that the government came at the public with is that our fisheries, all of our fisheries, were on the brink of collapse, and that we needed this reform to save our fisheries. Unfortunately, that pillar of the reform process is an out-and-out lie. We have evidence, and it's on the public record, and we can make that available to anyone who wants to see it, about the sustainability of our fisheries and our fish stocks. In going forward, one of the things that we've asked the department is, okay, if you're going to fundamentally change the way we manage our fisheries, what modelling have you done to provide us with a bit of an outline of what that new fishery is going to look like, and potentially the impacts on those that are going to be the most impacted, and that's us. So I've not heard of any modelling done under this reform process. So why do you think it was rushed in the way that it was rushed, Alan?
Eric, you can only draw one conclusion from all this. Because the term of the government expires in October this year, and I think the runaway pace that it was, well, the whole reform was going to forward with, was trying to get it over the line before the next election came in Queensland.
That was Alan Bobberman and myself having a discussion around the so-called fisheries reform process. Thanks everyone for listening. More of these podcasts and videos to come in the months leading to the Queensland state election in October of 2020. Thanks again for your time, and I'll catch you all in the next podcast.